time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
In smart beta, Vanguard and iShares still dominate. Single factor ETFs have been successful. If they really get strong track records, I think you might get people motivated to actually sit down and figure out what goes into these funds.
Cynthia, so great having you back on the podcast. It had been a little while.
Yeah, thanks, Nate, for having me.
All right, so we are going to discuss these market forecasts from three of the top ETF issuers. Before we do that, however, as you heard there at the top, I do have two of your favorite ETF industry colleagues set to join me to talk ETFs in 2020 and offer some 2021 predictions, which, by the way, how do you think that's going to go, having them both on the line at the same time? I'm a little nervous about it.
Well, good luck, but it should be entertaining for sure.
Yeah, it will definitely be entertaining. Well, look, I thought I'd give you an opportunity to tell us what you thought was the ETF story of the year and maybe offer a prediction for next year as well. Do you have a particular ETF story from 2020 that you just felt stood out above the rest?
You know, it's. I was thinking about that before coming on the show today, and there are so many interesting ETF stories of the year that are associated with specific tickers. So to me, the big story really is just more of an overarching story, which is just a basic story of acceleration. So in 2020, you had all sorts of, from disruptive trends accelerating to consumption of ETFs accelerating to already a record year in inflows for ETFs in general to, you know, massive appetite that's been pretty widespread despite very clear themes and topics this year. You have, if you look at just your sheer, you know, ETF issuer table, you have Vanguard taking in almost $200 billion in net assets this year. So that low-cost beta storyline is not only undeterred in its dominance, but it's gotten even stronger this year, considering Vanguard's flows. But you also have somebody like ARK Funds as the fourth biggest asset gatherer this year, which is the other side of the spectrum, the actively managed side that has never really gotten traction in the ETF space. This year has had a phenomenal year. So it's been really just a phenomenal industry year with a lot of new investors coming in, a lot of more conversation, a lot of more engagement. It's just an acceleration year, period.
I think your word acceleration is perfect. I've actually talked about this the last few weeks on the podcast, that you think about it, ETFs are now, 27, 28 years old, and the fact that we're talking about growth accelerating, and there does feel just like a lot of momentum around the space. It's amazing at this point in the game. You know, ETFs, even though they have been around 27, 28 years, they still feel so new and innovative. And I don't know that you always see that in other industries that are, you know, a few decades old. Okay, give me one quick ETF prediction for 2021. Anything come to mind?
Well, ticker specific is a tough one. I think theme specific, it sounds like it's going to be the year of small cap value. So it's at least that's what just about everyone in this industry seems to be agreeing on. And so it would be interesting to see whether that really has any lags. I mean, we have seen small caps and value outperform here and there in the last 11 years, but it's never stuck. You have to go back way to the 2000 to 2009 cycle to see value and small caps both outperform at the same time. So it'll be really interesting to see whether 2021 begins a new era for these factors.
Well, and I know there are a lot of ETF issuers out there who are in the small cap and value space that hope you're right. It's been a tough go of things over the past 10 years. Well, look, that's a perfect transition. Let's talk about this piece you recently published where you looked at next year's market forecasts from three of the largest ETF issuers. So BlackRock, State Street, and Invesco, which, by the way, big surprise, Vanguard wasn't in there, right? They're not really big into market forecasting. But I thought you took a pragmatic approach here. You noted that nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know for sure what's going to happen. We only have to look at this year, you know, for confirmation of that. But all that said, it is fun and interesting to consider where the markets are at and what may lie ahead. So let's talk about these. And I guess first, what stood out to you across the three forecasts? I know you read them all in depth. Were there any commonalities here?
you know, Nate, what we really set out to meet was just this commonality over the small cap and value element, just this idea that this is early cycle type of trade, bet on the cyclical stocks, and all three of them have that as their base case scenario, which I thought that was interesting because the moment you have, you know, three of the biggest issuers out there kind of beating the same drum, maybe they're onto something. That said, I also thought it was interesting the commonality, the fact that they all really hedged those positions, specifically State Street and Invesco, basically saying this is a base case, but it could go the other way. So, or it could be very bearish, or it could not work at all. So just hedge your bets. So it was, I think it just shows the scars of 2020, you know, coming in at the end of the year in 2019, as we're going through the same exercise as we are today, you know, nobody saw what 2020 was going to unleash. And I think the battle scars are showing in the forecast this year with a lot of precautionary tales of balance it out, don't go all in on one side or the other. That said, it should be early cyclical stocks that do best. It should be small value, small cap. It should be value. And I think one of the interesting things is in that tone comes the talk about quality. So look for quality in small cap value to really make sure you ride this wave as, you know, with as low volatility as possible. So I thought that was kind of an interesting tone.
Yeah, when you mentioned these issuers hedging their bets, I know with Invesco, you mentioned that they took the choose-your-own-adventure approach, right, where they said, you know, could be very bullish, could be very bearish, maybe something in between. That's the way that I like to write my forecast, because as I've said before, my crystal ball is completely broken.
And to me, like the point I made in that article, which I really believe in, maybe that is the most useful forecast of them all, because sometimes, you know, human behavior, we love predictions, we love to think we know where things are going, we love to throw all our chips in, and I think sometimes it's a good exercise in just basic investing education to remember that nobody knows where things are going. It's all educated guess, it's all historical perspective and all that, but it's at the end of the day a guess. And so the best way to do it is to really be prepared for all possible scenarios and diversified and all that good stuff.
Okay. Now, that said, you know, hedging bets isn't as much fun as making bold, you know, outright predictions. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You mentioned value, and we know what that has looked like over the past decade. Are you ready to declare a comeback for value investing?
I am ready to say this looks like the best environment we've had in at least a decade for value. So even, you know, does that mean that growth and the big tech, large cap tech names are done? I don't think so. So I don't think it's going to be a story of value versus growth as much as it is value and growth. So it's, you know, I think the story that has really dominated 2020, this whole technology disruption, the whole new way of things, none of that is going to die the minute January 1st kicks in, but there's an opportunity, a relative opportunity in value that nobody seems able to ignore anymore. And if we do have vaccines, the whole economy is reopening, that whole, you know, conversation about the beginning of a new cycle, that is prime opportunity for value. And these stocks are so beaten down. You look at energy stocks, look at financials. These are the stocks that dominate value indexes today. That's just pure opportunity there. So does that mean give up on growth because it's all going to be about value? I don't think so. But I think it's another either or, it's an and type of year.
What about emerging markets? I think like value, that's been another serial underperformer. And I read through your piece. There did seem to be some optimism that if we do get a global economic recovery, vaccines come out. And then I think especially if there's dollar weakness, right, with all of the, the stimulus and money printing, that maybe that could be a boost for emerging markets. Do you subscribe to that at all?
I think so. I mean, if you look at just the performance already this year, especially since March 23rd when the market bottomed here in the U.S., a fund like IEMG has outperformed SPY already since that time. So emerging markets are already outperforming in 2020, and it's part of this whole classic early cycle cyclical stock story that works for emerging markets as well. I also think just the expectations for better commodities markets next year. I mean, we've seen that's already started as well as a trend that's really supportive for emerging markets. And, you know, people now, there's a big divide on how people feel about China after this whole experience this year. But China is doing really well, and people are very bullish on China. And China is 30, 35% of the broad emerging market indexes. So I think there's opportunity there. There's a lot of risk, because if this doesn't work out, if vaccines don't work out, if these new strands really take over and we go into other shutdowns, emerging markets will suffer much harder. But I think that they're already starting to recover well, and it could be a really good opportunity in 2021.
Yeah, and I think it was BlackRock, right, who said go big on China in their forecast.
Yeah, they're bullish China, big time.
I know you mentioned a number of ETFs in your piece as you sort of digested these forecasts. Are there any specific ETFs you want to point out that you think could benefit in 2021? And as always, normal disclaimer, these aren't investment recommendations. Listeners, do your own homework. But Cynthia, any ETFs you would highlight?
You know, talking to some of the advisors and looking at these forecasts, if you look at small cap, you look at value, you look at quality. I mean, I actually have been really interested in this new ETF that came to market from iShares. They just launched at the end of October, so it's kind of brand new still. The ticker is SVAL, and it's a small cap value ETF. I think what's interesting about this fund, and we'll see if it really delivers, is that it's really like packed for extra punch. So it looks for just 250 stocks from the Russell 2000. So it's fishing from the same universe as IWM, which is what people reference as small cap universe, right? And it excludes the 20% least liquid stocks, the 20% most volatile stocks, 20% most leveraged stocks. And it also excludes stocks that seem to have negative sentiment, you know, more downgrades than upgrades. And so it's really packed to pick your most quality, best position financially, small cap, value stocks. So it sounds like the perfect recipe for success. And when it launched in October, we weren't here yet talking about small cap value. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, what a contrarian bet. Who's going to want this fund? Why are they launching these now? And within 2 weeks, I was proved wrong. It was the talk of the town. So I'm really excited to see if this fund delivers on the small cap value. It sounds like it has all the bells and whistles for it.
Well, definitely fortuitous timing with the launch. At least it looks that way. Any other ETFs that stand out to you?
I think in emerging markets, an ETF that always surprises, always impresses, but doesn't get a lot of press is EMQQ, which basically is your tech growth, disruption, internet growth in the emerging market space. This year alone, I was just looking earlier, this fund is up majorly, like 170% or something crazy like that. It tends to fly under the radar, but I think it could be an interesting way to play emerging markets if you don't want to go big on some of the big, heavy companies that tend to sometimes drag down emerging market performance. I think that could be an interesting opportunity there as well.
With the financial advisors that you recently spoke to, I know you got some top ETF picks or ideas for 2021. What was the sentiment there the same as some of the big themes that you picked out in the market forecast, or was there anything different? I know that there were some ETFs associated with these or with these advisors, right? The ARK Innovation ETF was in there. There were a couple of First Trust ETFs. I'm just curious, the sentiment that you heard from them in visiting with them, was anything noteworthy?
I think the sentiment was surprisingly the same. I think I started hearing the word quality a lot. For at least the second half of 2020, what I kept hearing about quality was that it got too expensive, so people were kind of walking away from that as factor, per se. And I'm just hearing that back as a way to navigate the early cycle time. So, I think the ticker is XASHQ or something like that. That's a small cap with quality. FTCS, another advisor, is bullish on. It's basically capital strength ETF. Mm-hmm. It's quality. So there's definitely a focus on quality. I do think the RKK specifically, as one of the advisors, is really bullish on that. And I'm excited to watch that fund this year, because I think everyone wants to know, is RKK going to be that one-year phenomenon that just made a name and that's all it had? It runs out of air here. Or is Cathie Wood and her team going to prove that the way they approach the market, the way they think of things, because they always pitch their themes as, 3 to 5 year storylines. And so I think we all want to seek confirmation. You know, were we right to bet that maybe now is the time for active management? And Kathy really is the icon in the space right now because they've delivered phenomenal performance, or is it going to be a one-year hiccup? So I think 2021 is going to be a lot of pressure on them, but an interesting year to see whether, you know, active management really finds its legs, because we've seen 50% of the launches this year be actively managed. So the menu is full of options now. But now we want to see confirmation. Is it going to really perform and deliver like it did this year, or it was just a one-year spot, you know?
I completely agree. I'm actually going to visit with Dave and Ben on this topic of ARK Invest. And what's interesting here is, you know, as I hear you talk about the forecast and speaking with these advisors, I keep hearing quality, small cap, value. And, you know, particularly on the value side, that obviously doesn't necessarily fit with the ARK, disruptive, you know, innovation and more growth 100%. Oriented. So if that market regime does shift, you know, that's going to be a challenge. And so if we get that environment, what will ARK performance look like? I think everybody is waiting to see. Although, can you imagine, what if like Kathy Wood all of a sudden pivots to value investing and then proceeds to outperform? I think people are going to melt down.
I mean, I would melt down, because then to me it puts in question, like, where did all the conviction go, right? So the whole beauty of her shop is the conviction. And so now I want to see, does that conviction pay off even when the regime may change? So it would just be fascinating. To me, that would be one of the big stories of 2021, will be watching what happens with ARK funds and even demand. I mean, those funds continue to take a ton of money even as the market corrects a little bit here. So people still believe in the storyline. So I'm really curious to see what happens.
Well, Cynthia, fun chat this week. We obviously don't know what 2021 is going to hold. I am going to go out on a limb and say it's got to be better than 2020, right? Although the markets were pretty good this year.
Don't jinx us. Yes.
But great having you back on the podcast. I hope you and your family enjoy the holiday season and look forward to chatting in the new year. Thank you.
Thanks. Same to you. Bye.
That was ETF.com's Cynthia Murphy.